are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Wednesday, February 9th, 2022. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner. DMs always open for you. And per usual, subscribe, smash the button so you get this podcast once it hits the streets. We will talk to Matoy Pearson, my buddy over at WinBet. He's in the back in the trading room crunching numbers and making markets. He talks about forecasting how betting lines will move, and I thought that was fascinating because you could create a number, you can book a market, but then you also have to, I guess where people will bet, where the sharps are going to bet, where the public is going to bet. So you're really forecasting the way a market will change over time. And in the case of the Super Bowl, when that line goes up Sunday night, championship weekend, there are 2 weeks for people to sort of bat around the side and the total and the money line. And then the props come out, the usual standard props come out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Superbook puts out their 35-page packet on Thursday. And that's a long time until kickoff the following Sunday. Mo also discusses key numbers on NFL totals, and I make him make me numbers rapid fire, and not just NFL. He can make numbers in college football, FCS, WNBA. The brain on that kid is unbelievable. So we'll talk to Mo coming up later on in the show. I cannot wait. Viva Las Vegas, flying out to the Mecca Friday morning. Naturally, a connecting flight through Seattle, which doesn't make any sense, but I was able to save, I think, $250 going connect to Vegas. I learned this lesson a long time ago. And mind you, I'm somebody that's flown in and out of Vegas at least 50 times in my life, maybe more. That number might be a little short. You can connect out there. You save your money for the direct flight back. You do not want to connect. Oh, my God. Connecting from Vegas to, like, New York City. And sometimes they hit you with, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to go from Vegas to Los Angeles and then New York. One time I missed a flight in Vegas coming back. And I had to do a 3-flight, 26-hour door-to-door connection. I went from Vegas to Denver to Dallas to Chicago, I think. Nightmare. Point is, always direct flight home. So if you're going to be in Vegas this weekend, hit me up. Saturday, going to be bouncing around everywhere, probably downtown. Sunday at the Superbook. Awesome stuff. And the best news I've read in a while, and hopefully this comes to fruition next couple of days, at Vital Vegas. Quote, I'm told there's been a big push by casinos and others to lift the mask mandate by the Super Bowl. The governor, gaming, Clark County Commission are all being approached, part pressure, part hat in hand. Pivotal moment, end quote. Let's have a weekend. Let's go. Got some guys, got some gals. Going to have a great weekend in Vegas Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and then flying back on Monday. So just enough to get down and have a good time with the people that want to hang out, drink a little bit, smoke a little bit, watch a little football. It's going to be a great time. Not a great time if you've been following Chicken Dinner lately. It's a Chicken Dinner cooler, if you know what I mean. I went back and looked at the spreadsheet. 216 and 212, up 5.4 units. That was beginning of January. Now, 221, 223 minus 2 units. That's a 5-11 run in the last 16. And it sucks. It sucks to lose. And there are no excuses, contrary to popular belief. You know, the icing on the cake, or the cherry on the sundae, was last night when I had pretty good handicapping sense that Indiana was going to beat Northwestern. Problem is, and nobody knew this, and I wish I did because I would have stayed off. 15 minutes before tip, Indiana announces they're going to suspend 5 players and 2 starters So Indiana goes from -1 to +3. Northwestern closes -3.5. And then, you know, the game hasn't even started yet. And it's like, you suck at your job. And it's like, oh, my God. You get no credit when you beat the line by 3-4 points. But when it goes against you, it's like, oh, you suck. It look, this is not a place anybody wants to be. It's a part of this racket. If I specialized and only gave out, you know, college football and hockey picks, it would be, hey, you're not picking enough stuff. When you pick everything, it's, oh, you're not winning enough. It is so hard to win at all these sports. And a lot of this stuff, you know, you have a good idea. You have people who are very good at these markets. Like whenever I give out a Missouri Valley basketball game or a Big Ten basketball game or an FCS football game, like there's somebody very smart that is giving me tips on this stuff and still scratching and clawing. It's no fun. I hate doing it. You know, if you've been listening to this show for the last 3, 4, 5 years, there are hot streaks and there are cold streaks. And this is a cooler for sure. 5-11 is not great, but 16 games is also not a lot. You know, I always thought to have a good idea of how strong of a handicapper somebody is to look at about 1,000 game sample size. You know, there are all these people in the space that start a new job or they get hired by company X and they start 10-1. That's awesome. Good. Tip your cap to 10-1. That's great. 10 out of 11 is amazing. But what does that handicapper look like after 100 or after 250 or after 500 or after 700 picks? 11 picks is nothing. Now, 1 in 10, I would argue 1 in 10 is way worse than 10-1 is great. It's hard to go 1 in 10. I think it's easier to go 10-1 than it is to go 1 in 10, if that makes any sense. Point is, just let this all come out in the wash. We get through the Super Bowl. We get through March Madness. Let's see where we're at after that run. I am not happy at all. I mean, I'm looking at this right now. I got the chicken dinner picks pulled up on the spreadsheet, and it's a lot of red L's and not a lot of green W's. I mean, the last, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 2, 6, and 1. And the push there is that Illinois game when we laid 3, market closed 6, and Northwestern hits a 3 at the buzzer to push it. It's like, hey, when you're not on fire, you are not on fire. And I still can't believe, holy cow, how did you lose both Kansas City +650 to win the AFC and San Francisco +650 to win the NFC? They both lost on Championship Sunday. Chiefs are up 21-3. If you would have asked me up 21-3, hey, do you want to sell that ticket? Fuck off. Up 18 points at home in the AFC Championship game against a second-year quarterback. Lose the game. Niners up 10 in the fourth quarter. Lose the game. Come on. At some point, these teams have to do their jobs. You know, I always talk about we did our job, now they have to do their job. Kansas City and San Francisco, the odds of them both losing on Sunday is 6-1. I would not hedge that every time. Hindsight is always 20-20. A one-unit Cincy LA moneyline parlay would have been +610. And that was probably the move, but come on. You're going to win one of those, KC or San Francisco. You should. You should. In the last week, I've poured over at least 800 Super Bowl props. And there are some good ones this year. These bookmakers are getting creative, that's for sure. The Octopus, 15-1 at Circa. That's where a player has to cross the goal line for the touchdown and then also cross the goal line for the two-point conversion. Octopus, 8 points, 15-1. And I know some guys that have some skin on that. $100 bet wins you $1,500. The Westgate, did will Joe Burrow or Matthew Stafford catch a pass? Burrow opened 15-1. Stafford opened 20-1. Those numbers are notably a little bit lower because people have, you know, taken bites at the apple. Any non-quarterback will throw a touchdown pass. This is at BetMGM, 14-1. The block is also hot, which is really bothering me. If you've been following Chicken Dinner, you know that my two favorite Super Bowl props are longest touchdown under and opening kickoff no touchback. Just to give you an idea of how far these markets have come in the last calendar year, the longest touchdown last year was 47 and a half yards. And I remember being squeamish about that because I'm like, man, this is usually like 49 and a half, 50 and a half. I'm going to take the under. Still took it under 47 and a half. This year, it opened 42 and a half, and the Superbook is down to 41 and a half. So a five-yard adjustment in 1 year. And at that point, I just can't. 45 yards, it beats me this year. 47 yards, it beats me this year. That prop used to be like 53 and a half. Then it was 51 and a half, 50 and a half, 49 and a half. It slowly inched down. But now it drops 5 yards in 1 year. And I can't do it. Because now I lose 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. I'm out. And some people will go, well, just bet the over. But I don't like the over. I still don't like the over. It's just, it's Rachel Phelps in Major League. Cross him off then. You don't have to bet it. There's fucking 800 props or more if you play offshore. 1,000 props. 1,100 props. You don't have to bet a prop at a bad number. And I'm not betting the no touchback prop. You absolutely cannot bet this anymore. Last year, the opening kickoff was plus 230, no touchback. So if somebody catches it and brings it out, plus 230. The touchback, yes, was minus 270. Well, guess what? Last year, no touchback, plus 230. This year, it opened plus 145. And I saw points bet yesterday move the market to yes, minus 130, no, plus 100. The no has moved $1.30 in 1 year. The fucking block is hot. They're on to us. Now, you do your homework. You go back, check the play-by-play, the game logs, whatever. No touchback has hit in 26 of the last 28 years. I think McAfee ruined this prop because he went viral with it last year. We've been betting it, but Pat goes on his show, and he's got millions of followers across all the platforms, and he told the story about how the ball comes fresh out of the box. You don't get to mess with it. You can't kick it or slam it against the wall or loosen it up. It goes from the box to the ref to the tee, and once it's kicked and that play is over on the opening kickoff, the ball goes straight to the Hall of Fame. And McAfee told the story because he kicked off in the Super Bowl against the Saints, Colts and Saints, like 2009 or so. He said he was ready to wham that thing. Like, he wound up and he tried to drill it through the uprights because it's the Super Bowl. There's 100 million people plus watching the game. What he didn't know was that this ball is like kicking a brick. And you try and get everything into it, and it flutters to the 3 or 4 yard line deep into the end zone, and they run it out. Because, of course, the opening return man is going to want to take it out. They don't want to take a knee unless it's 7, 8 yards deep. But you can't bet that now. And people are like, well, what do you think? You like it at plus 100? No! It was plus 190, plus 210, plus 230, plus 250. We were on average 2-1 or higher. But they finally caught up. The golden goose is gone. So let's find a new one. I want to tip my cap to my buddy Jason Mizrahi from Win Daily Sports. He's been on the show before. His favorite long shot is the tie at halftime. Oh. Do you like a tie at half? No. How about 10-1? Oh, I like it. 6-6. 7-7, 10-10, 13-13, 14-14, whatever. Just be tied at half, 10-1. And I'll tell you what, if that prop hits, it's not 10-1 next year. No way. It reminds me of when the safety used to be 15-1. And then we had a couple years, like, was it 2 straight or 3 out of 4 or something? You know, the Broncos-Seahawks safety comes to mind when Manning had the ball go over his head. It happened in a Giants-Patriots Super Bowl. There have been a couple, or a few, in the last decade. That prop used to be 15-1. Now you're lucky to find safety 7-1, 8-1. And then the other prop that completely went to the wayside as far as numerical value, overtime used to be 9-1, 10-1. And then the Patriots and Falcons went to overtime, and now you find overtime 5-1, 550, 6-1, 7-1. This is like the last hurrah or the last frontier for a tie prop, but you don't bet it at the end of regulation where it's 5-6-1. You bet it at halftime where it's 10-1. DraftKings is offering 10-1 right now on a halftime tie. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But if it does, 10-1. Sounds really good. I made 5 prop bets, actually, and these are on Twitter, at ChickenXDinner. Going to try and end this football season with an exclamation point. First quarter under 9.5, minus 110. I love betting this. I bet this, I think, in every Brady Super Bowl in New England and just cleaned up. They didn't score a touchdown for his first 7 Super Bowls, I think. So if it can happen to Brady, it can happen to Burrow and Stafford. And really, I like both defensive lines. And there's something to be said about the hype and the noise and the jitters and the nerves in the Super Bowl. So I like first quarter under. I always have. 9.5, minus 110. First half under, 23.5. Caesars has plus 105. Same thing. Low and slow first. Maybe a tit for tat second. Field goal, touchdown, touchdown. Whatever. I like the under, and there's correlation there. First quarter under 9.5. First half under 23.5. And the tie at half, thanks to Jason, 10-1. Longest field goal is interesting. I like the over this year. Vegas Rick likes this one. Last year, we had field goals of 49, 51, and 52. And these guys, they got bigger legs. And this game is essentially indoors at SoFi. You got a couple guys in McPherson and Gay that could blast it. Their season highs this year, I think 55 and 58. These guys got legs. And that's why I think the touchback prop has really waffled to the other side. Not only is there regression in, you know, the market, but there's a realization that these guys have big legs. So I don't think it's solely because people caught on to the McAfee story and the no touchback, but it's really people betting on the big legs of these kickers. And that should also translate into a long field goal, you would think. McVay and Taylor, too, 4th and 3 at the 31, 33. They're going to probably kick the field goal. These guys don't, like, as far as, like, league averages, I know McVay is not in the top 10. I don't think Taylor is either. You know, these guys aren't Chip Kelly. He's not even in the league anymore, but you get my point. They're not going for it on 4th and 2, 4th and 3, 4th and 4. They're going to take the points because I think they both sort of trust their defenses. So I like the over there. And this one I found, I think this is at FanDuel. It's either FanDuel or BetMGM. The Rams minus 125 to have more TOP, more time of possession. So I went back. I looked at the Rams' 3 playoff games. They outpossessed Arizona 36-24. They outpossessed Tampa 34-26. They outpossessed San Francisco, 36-24. Those numbers, obviously, all minutes. They've had the ball in a 59% share of the 3 playoff games this season. 59% implied odds translates to about minus 150. So why wouldn't you lay minus 125 that the Rams have the ball more? To me, it's math. They've had it 60% almost. And that should be minus 150 or a little higher. So, yeah, I'll lay minus 125 on the better defense with Aaron Donald and company chewing through that offensive line. I'm not saying Cincinnati can't be in the game, can't score, can't hang. But the Rams probably have the ball more. So if I think a market should be minus 150, true number, and maybe weighted at minus 160, yeah, I'm going to lay 125. Come on. Think about where we've come in this country in the last 4 full calendar years. In 2018, I move out to Vegas during the Super Bowl to work at VSiN. At that point, in February 2018, you could legally place a Super Bowl bet in one state, Nevada. That's why I moved there. Hey, we can gamble here. We can talk about gambling here. Let's go. Let's make a move. PASPA goes down in May of 18. So the following Super Bowl, 2019, you could legally place a Super Bowl bet in 8 states. In 2020, 14, 2021, 20. And this Super Bowl, Super Bowl 56 in 2022, 30 states are live and legal, plus Washington, D.C. Let's go. We need to get to 40. I want 45. I've been told 47 is probably the ceiling because you'll never get Utah. Probably won't get Hawaii. I don't know about Alaska. Who knows? 30 is still relatively low compared to where this rocket ship is headed. And speaking of rocket ship, Ryan Butler had this tweet at Butler Bets. He posted the full 2021 U.S. legal sports betting figures. Americans wager. Take a guess. $57.7 billion. That was the total handle for dollars wagered. $57.7 billion. Revenue, $4.3 billion, which is a 7.4% hold. And you look at the online wagering number, it's massive. 87% of those $57.7 billion was wagered on the phone. Mobile online wagering. Betting, the handle, up 167% from last year. The revenue, up 178%. Holy shit. And the last thing, before we get to Mo Pearson. Superbook posted up odds to win the Super Bowl next year, 2023. If you're in Vegas, please don't make this mistake. Or you don't have to be in Vegas. If you're looking at your app right now, please make sure you're betting the right Super Bowl. You would be surprised at how many people bet the Bengals to win next year's Super Bowl, and if they win this game, they're like, wait, where's my money? Roman numerals are hard. Just please double-check and triple-check your work. Bet the right Super Bowl. So this is for next year's Super Bowl, not this year's. Not the one coming up this weekend. For next year. The Bills are favored at the Westgate. That's very telling. Bills 7-1. Chiefs 8-1. Honestly, that's where I'd start. I'd probably go KC first in my power ratings and then Buffalo. Rams 8-1. Niners 10-1. Likely with Trey Lance, I might add, because Jimmy G is going to be out of there, you would think. You don't move up and trade up to number three overall in the draft to take Trey Lance and then keep Jimmy G and pay him, what, $25 million. Cowboys 10-1. I'm over it. I'm over them. Packers 16. If Rodgers leaves, that number could be fucking 50-1. Chargers 20. Broncos 20. I wrote that one down and underlined it and circled it. If the Broncos actually get Aaron Rodgers this year, that number goes from 20, they half it. It goes to 10. And remember, a lot of bookmakers and a lot of people in the know last offseason thought Rodgers was headed to Mile High. That team is literally a top 10 roster with a bottom three quarterback room. Teddy Bridgewater is a great story. I like Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy covers. He ain't taking you to the Super Bowl. And Drew Locke, forget it. If you bet Denver now at 20-1, and Superbook's got 20-1, other books might be higher because Superbook has a shop in Colorado. You could find probably 25. I don't know if you get the 30-1 on Denver because they're building in sort of the halfway hole. If the books know that Rodgers definitely isn't going there, this number's 40-1, 50-1. Easy. If he goes there, it's 10-1, 12-1. So 20-1 is like, all right, we're protecting ourselves, kind of. And then they'll write a nickel or a dime, and then they'll move it right away once the rumor breaks. Bengals 20, Titans 20, Cardinals 20, no. Colts 25-1. And I wrote on this one, wait until after week three. Go back and look at Frank Reich's record in Indianapolis. Why do they always start 1-2 or 0-3? And then they push late. So don't bet 25. Wait for them to lose week one and bet 40 or 45. And if they go down 1-2, you could probably get a 60-1 on the Colts. There's something weird about how they start every year. Maybe they change the narrative next year, but that's the track record. Ravens 30, Seahawks 30, Browns 30, Patriots 30. I could probably stop there. Vikings 30, Saints 40. And the last team on the list. Houston Texans, 500-1. Lovie Smith, come on down. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, I am so excited to get to track down with Toy Pearson from WynnBET, senior trader. You know what's funny? I know if I ask you about coming on the show, you'll just ignore me. So now I go to your handlers, and they book you for me.
When I hear anybody tracking me down, I'm already nervous immediately, even though it's a pleasure to always be on. You know, it's my second time, but, you know, Seth is going to want me on no matter what, man. So I got to be on. I got to be on here.
I warn you, I have 16% battery on my laptop, which is very comfortable for you. I feel like you're always running around Fremont Street with like 4%.
Yeah, man. I think I'm notorious for just having a terrible battery life, maybe life in general, give or take, you know, a couple people. But, you know, I have enough to at least do the show, you know, that much.
You will always be like, all right, Joe, I'll be there in like 45 minutes, but I'm on 2%. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to find him? I'm like, oh, well, I could probably go to the long bar at the D, or we can meet at the Can. But you go out there, man. You go commando with 3, 4%. I don't know how you do it in Vegas.
I got the new phone now, man. So, you know, the battery life is a little bit better with 5 or 10% than it was, you know, when I last seen you.
I sent you and your partner in crime, Alan Berg, a text on Monday. I said, yo, what's my odds on Brady retirement? Yes, no. Berg responded right away and said, yes, minus 360. I said, wow, that's a little high. And you responded, get him out. Get Rodgers out, too. Now, you can't take bets on this. As we know, this is not a regulated market. Explain to me why you guys would be so high on yes at minus 360.
Man, you know, I really didn't discuss it up until, you know, we talked about it through text. And, you know, AB was pretty adamant on, you know, him even talking about it before the Rams game was, you know, just as surprising because, you know, this guy wants to play till like he's, you know, 87 years old and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, just for us and even me thinking about it, I thought like, you know, when we were talking about minus 360, it could have been, you know, nearly $5, $8, you know, somewhere in that range. You know, he's got a family. You know, he's won enough. I don't know how many Super Bowls a man needs to win, but for him even to bring it up after a loss like that was, you know, pretty interesting in a, you know, just in his case.
It's fascinating that you say -5, -$8. You couldn't make it that high, though, Mo, because if you made it -8, you're going to give back no retirement at what, +550, 6-1? You don't want to write bets on that.
Yeah, probably not, man. You know, and it's funny, like, as far as, like, limits and whatever the case is, because it's such a unique, you know, prop to put up, like, the first few sharp bets that we even see or even guys that might even have a clue, like, that thing's going to be down to, you know, $2 even money, you know, as quick as someone could bet it that might have a clue.
I try to tell people that ask me, you know, what are odds makers like? What are guys that book bets like? I go, first of all, they're fucking sickos like I am. But you guys will
– that's a fact.
You'll make numbers on anything, and then you'll also try and play weatherman or weather person on said issues. Like you just said, well, I'll make it this, but it could go to this, and then we'll do that. You're essentially trying to forecast not only what a line should be, but what it will do. You're really guesstimating oftentimes what this line will do and then what you'll do to respond, yes?
Yeah, I think Alan was probably lowballing at 360 because he could have probably thought it should have been absolutely higher. But, you know, why give away $5 when, you know, everyone in the world is going to bet he's not going to retire at, you know, set amount, maybe like $2 or even money or whatever the case is. So, yeah, I mean, when we do put up a line, we're going to figure out like where they're going to bet it first and what we're comfortable giving away.
What's your market look like now on Kansas City, Cincinnati? WynnBET has 7 flat. 54 on the total. What's the action looking like so far?
Yeah, man, if Chiefs and over get there, we're probably all out of a job as far as when being it on Wednesday is concerned. So, you know, that's all we've been seeing. You know, a lot of $50, $100, you know, or $50, $200 bets and parlays all on KC to over. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, not play Chiefs and over after that Bills-Chiefs ending. It being the last game that everybody's seen on Sunday night.
That game was a dead under until, like, the final minute.
Oh, man. I was talking to a couple people, and, you know, everyone was sweating it out in the third quarter. And, you know, I had this text I sent to a couple friends, and I said, I mean, there's probably, like, 80 more points to be scored. Like, we'll sweat it out in the last 30 seconds. I didn't really think it was going to get into that level of ridiculousness, but you know, it was just funny that that's kind of how it ended. And you know, I had bills on my end too personally, so I was pretty hurt, man. I kind of just went into my room, cut the lights off, and just laid down there for a minute, for you know, 45 to an hour.
Perception sometimes is more important than reality, which is why a lot of these sports books keep popping up. That's why the chandeliers are never not lit. When you guys see key numbers back there total wise, like, what's the power rating of the most important totals? I know 47's right there, 44 is there as well, 41 is there. Do you have a power rating for totals that you use?
I don't totally, but like everyone in the room that's booking towards it, or at least sees it open, you know, we deem it pretty important to, like, you know, get at least some action that we know that's at least respected enough to get off it, or to know, like, you know, if everyone's just going to be betting the under, let's get ahead of it. So like, say if, you know, we open 47 and we see everyone hammering the under, like, let's go ahead and get to 46.5, 46 and see who bets it up, you know, as the limits could be a little bit lower, so we can kind of book it from there going into, you know, Sunday. So, you know, it's kind of a big deal that we recognize it first, book towards it early, get the action for it to see if we should be off the key number or on it going forward.
But when you say everybody, it's not everybody, it's respected money. Public isn't going to bet this until Saturday and most likely on Sunday. I mean, public isn't betting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday most of the time. So you're talking about influential dollars, because you're going to get most of the public tickets closer to kickoff.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, like, once again, like, you know, we're looking for the sharper, more respected guys so we can figure out a side to book towards. But, you know, if the public's going to be hammering one side, you know, if we have the chance, especially earlier in the week, like now, let's just get off 47 and see what we get at 46.5. Because, you know, a guy that bets over 46.5 Tuesday, Wednesday might be betting it just because the market's off and might think a whole different, you know, think entirely different of the total on the weekend. So, you know, just getting any answers early, especially towards a key number like 44, 47, is like a big deal for us, especially if we're going to be taking a bunch of handle on it on a championship game.
I talked to Bennett last week for a story on Green Bay, San Francisco, and he told me he knew he had the right total when he wrote an extremely sharp bet over 47 and then an extremely sharp bet under 47.5. I felt like he was satisfied at that point.
Yeah, man. That's like, as far as a bookmaker's concerned, where you can kind of figure it out, you know, especially when CB's seeing something like that, that's a big deal. And I think we were kind of in the same position where, you know, we wrote a decent amount of over on Packers. And once again, like, we kind of moved up to 47.5, and someone, you know, that we incredibly respected, like, when the limits were high, annihilated it, you know, within a couple minutes of even getting it to that number. So, you know, it's a pretty satisfying moment when you can kind of get the right side and then book towards that up until kick. And you know, it winning is like a whole nother, you know, celebration when it gets there.
I wish you could have seen my direct messages late Saturday night after a day full of drinking. We were belly up on the same bar stools for 6 hours. And, of course, your boy gives out Green Bay. Talked about it on Sunday, -4.5. Ended up tweeting it out, I think, -5.5 or -6. Green Bay's up 10-3. The Niners don't even have a fucking touchdown yet. There's 5 minutes to go, and it goes sideways. And, oh, I'm literally, like, I need to throw this phone out the window because I'm going to go postal.
Man, I was on Packers, too. We talked about it. I mean, you can't, anyone who's, you know, being just as discouraging about a pick in a game like that should be, you know, I'm offended. Like, you have to at least watch the game to know what happened. And, you know, that one you kind of sweep under the rug. It was the most, you know, one of the more ridiculous ways I've ever seen a game end. You know, far be it from me to say the Packers haven't been, you know, as good in the playoffs since they haven't really did a damn thing. But to lose like that in that fashion, like, no one should be getting the finger wag for giving out Packers or whatever the case is.
Well, I responded to one of the people because you know me. I love to give it. My buddy Travis Thomas in D.C. says, you always give your listeners the business if they call you out. And I'm like, well, not right. Always, but I like people to see what I have to deal with. And I'm going back and forth for about 3 minutes, 4 minutes with this guy who says the Packers were never the right side. And I'm thinking to myself, the Niners had 3 points with 4 minutes, 5 minutes to go in the game. There's no way the Packers were a bad bet. It was a bad result.
Yeah, no, I'm at a bar with my buddy Casey. We're watching the whole game. I think we're at the Sahara or something. You know, we're doing the drinks or whatever, and the punt gets blocked. This is late, and there's, you know, it's 49ers everywhere in this casino, and the place erupts, but no one knows where the ball is. Like, when the punt gets blocked, I was like, I thought time stood still. I said, well, what happened? You know, until Hufanga picked it up and ran into the end zone. I said, what happened to the ball for like 5 seconds? Like, everyone, even in Lambeau, no one knew where it was. And this, you know, it's just like, this team's not going to win. Like, the Packers aren't going to win. I don't give a damn how much time Rodgers has. You know, if someone can tie it up like that, you're probably going to lose in the long grand scheme of things, man. So it was a pretty ridiculous way to even see that game end anyway.
This is how the playoffs go, though. All four of those games, man, could have gone either way. All four of them. There were points in all of those games where third quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, it could have gone either way on the side. Now, the total's a little bit different because a lot of those games were never close to the over, but this is betting the NFL playoffs, which takes me to this question. I haven't asked anybody this, so I'm going to ask you because you're very cerebral and you're going to give me a number no matter what. What would you make this Chiefs team against last year's Chiefs team on a neutral?
Oh, man. That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
This Chiefs team, like if they played in the Super Bowl. I like this Chiefs team maybe as like a 2.5-point favorite on a neutral. This Chiefs team.
Because they're better on the O-line?
I would say, yeah. They've been playing, like, from what I seen last year with the Chiefs team, like, as far as their best, like, after the Chiefs had a pretty tough start, I think this is probably the best we've seen them play, you know, up until that Super Bowl run against the Niners. So I'm pretty impressed. Maybe I'm getting smoked by just kind of seeing them play well in the playoffs, but I think it's probably the best we've seen them since they beat the Niners in that Super Bowl in that year.
What's the number? James Madison, North Dakota State on a neutral.
Don't make me do this. I've been trying to get away from James Madison, man. What are you doing? What are you doing? It would have to be like North Dakota State minus like 3. Yeah, that's it. North Dakota State 3.
Aces against the Sky on a neutral.
Aces minus 4.
UConn versus UMass football on a neutral.
Big.
Alabama against the Jets.
Oh, man.
Is this where you hang up here, right?
Jets minus 30.5. That's all I got. That's everything I have.
Well, I'm trying to showcase how smart you are. You're making lines with literally nothing in front of you. And you know the last question. I'm just trying to piss you off.
Of course.
If Jeff Davis was asked Alabama Jets, he'd shoot himself.
He would, like, as far as these questions, he would have been hung up. Guaranteed. He would be thinking about, why is this happening and what other thing can I be doing at this moment?
He told me a story once. He was trying to move 6 figures around on some football game. It was either the divisional round or it was the wild card weekend, and he's trying to maneuver a lot of money around, and he said somebody from ESPN PR called him and said, hey, what would you make this year's Patriots team against Clemson or something like that? And he was trying to explain how mad he was. I was cracking up because he's like, I'm trying to balance 6 figures and they want to know what the Patriots and Clemson are.
He's got like a slow anger, like when he sees the question, there's like a scoff and then a, you know, how can they be doing this? Do you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't get to see, like, the full effect of how mad Jeff would get at these ESPN questions, but I was there for a month when we were at Caesars, and I would say it was probably in the top 5 funniest things I've seen as far as, you know, working with JYD, man. So, yeah, man.
If you wrote a book one day, what story from behind the counter would have to be in the book? It doesn't have to be from a player, customer. It could be with a supervisor, a fellow trader, like – what's the one story that goes in the book that you won't write because you're too lazy? What's the one story that has to make the book?
Oh, man. I don't know. I would say one of the things I always think about when I was a writer was giving a person, I think I gave somebody Southern Utah college hoops. It's probably like my second year writing, you know, player X or whatever. He was like a good guy. I didn't really know him. And he said, all right, give me Southern Utah. And I said, okay. I said, well, for how much? And he says, give it to me for $250K. And I said, I'm not here for jokes, buddy. Like, what's going on? So he pulls out the cash. This is during Super Bowl weekend, I think, Saturday. You know, college hoop Saturday, right into Super Bowl Sunday. And this guy bets $250K on Southern Utah. And Southern Utah gets blasted. I mean, I got to go check out this score. But I remember thinking about it, and the guy comes back and he laughs. I mean, this guy's, you know, I don't know. I didn't even know who he was. You know, we were just chopping it up before I gave it to him. And he laughs and, you know, he goes, no, don't sweat it, man. You know, we'll make you back on the Super Bowl. And I think he ended up winning like a mil or something like on Sunday. But, you know, just the fact that you could, you know, talk with someone for a bit and get to know them. And, you know, it seemed like I was smart at the time when I was giving them all these stats or whatever. But the results were it is what it is. It was just funny, you know, something that I usually always remember or I tell somebody if they, you know, they ask me a question like that or something.
$250K and it never had a shot, huh?
No, it got blown out. If I can go pull up the score, I would. Like, I want to bring it up again. But I remember, you know, Southern Utah was on this run before they played maybe like Idaho, some Big Sky stuff. But, you know, the guy was good for it. You know, they gave him the $250K. You know, he was a big better with Caesars at the time. But yeah, man, it was bizarre. It was one of the more bizarre moments at that time in my career.
I got an email from WinBet today that said, hey, big announcement. Julian Edelman has joined the team. I'm like, well, yeah, because he lost all his money. You have any comment on this, or can you not say anything?
I can't. I don't know if I can. This is like off the record. I just figured it was probably
not off the
record. Deal at the end of the – it is. It, right now, it has to be. But I feel like maybe there was some type of deal. I don't know. I seen it. I was like, well, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for us. So.
I'm trying to teach you. This is where you say, I'm just here so I won't get fined. You don't want to get in trouble on this. No comment. No comment, Sam. No comment.
I don't know. I'm the guy that doesn't know anyway.
Well, you always say you know for a fact, but you're also just guessing.
That's a – man. That's going to be on my header on my tombstone when it's time.
Last thing, do you have a winner for me? Anything coming up this weekend? NFL, college basketball, Australian Open, whatever. You got anything for us?
I'll probably be on the Bengals Chiefs under. I've been thinking about it for a few days, so you could probably lock that in. Just lock that in, Bengals Chiefs under. I'll be involved.
I will see you on Super Bowl weekend. I'm sure we will be out until 5 in the morning. I'd probably go over 5 in the morning. I'm so excited. Like, my feet are shaking. My knees are wobbling just thinking about us hanging out in Vegas.
Your feet have been shaking for like 3 months, 4 months, man. You've been waiting for this moment.
I was born for this.
Hey, man, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm not going to get too crazy Saturday, man. So, I'll be ready Sunday, no doubt.
Okay. Go follow our guy at Heed These Takes, one of the best customer service reps, I mean, traders in the game. Matoy Pearson, his friends call him Mo. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you for having me, man. Always.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Matoy Pearson for hopping on the program. Record check 221, 222, and 8, minus 2 units. Not happy about that, but it can only go one way from here, and that's up off a 5-11 cooler. Did lose Indiana Tuesday night, and we've got the props in the hopper right now. 5 of them for you. You ready? Write these down. First quarter under, 9.5, minus 110. First half under, 23.5, plus 105. The halftime tie, 10-1. Longest field goal, over 47.5. That's flat, minus 110. And the Rams, they have more possession, minus 125. Coming up on Chicken Dinner Friday, Rufus Peabody will join the show, one of the best prop bettors in the world. He will share a little bit of his process, and I think he's whole. I think he's made all of his bets, so maybe he can pass post and tell us about all the great numbers he got. But most importantly, I want to know about his strategy. Why does he bet what he bets, and why does he like the prices that he strikes? Cash up tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you in a couple days right here on Chicken Dinner.